Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Desert Talk. I'm John Hanford, and right now I'm sitting on the couch. Normally I do this podcast at my desk, but I'm sitting on my couch watching the NLCS, and Corey Seager has just gone deep, fifth time in the series. It's the top of the, or bottom of, wait, yeah. Top or bottom? Yeah, it's bottom of the first inning. Bottom of the first inning, and Corey Seager just went yard. For just adding to his record, apparently he's the only shortstop in Major League history that has now five home runs in a championship series. So that's a big stat. I guess it was just on the TV. It's not really that big of a deal. It's just like another one of those very niche stats that autistic people like to come up with, and it's cool. It is cool. Anyway, you know, last week I was talking about, stopping or cutting back tremendously on marijuana. And I did that for a few days, and then I decided, you know what, let's just go right back to it. And, now Justin Turner has gone back to back. So Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Braves. So this is game six of the National League Championship Series. And and the Braves are leading the series 3-2 against the Dodgers. I ultimately don't care who wins the series. I think I would like the Braves to do it because they're a really fun team to watch. And the Dodgers, I see them every year at spring training, and they have such egos about themselves already. I just feel like bringing a championship to that level of egotism as it stands now would just be catastrophic. I don't know what would happen. Because I think it would be worse than the Yankees, honestly, because at least the Yankees, like, their egos were built up because, you know, based on championships. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988, so I don't understand where they get all their pride from, other than that they just keep winning their division every year. It's they're a really annoying team. Come to think of it, I used to really like the Dodgers because, you know, like, they had Eric Gagne, and he was the coolest relief pitcher of all time. I mean, like, he only had one hat that he wore every year. So by September, it's just got like rings of sweat around the crown and just all over. I mean, it was just disgusting. And he had like that gross beard and the goggle glasses. Eric Gagne was fucking cool. And Sean Green, great player. Gary Sheffield, they had him for a couple seasons. You know, like the Dodgers were a cool fucking team. Like, they've always been cool. And I guess it's just like an LA thing that the Angels can't really pull off very well because that's more like Orange County. But like, the Dodgers have just gotten so overexposed and they've nothing to show for it. Like, they have a really good team and a bunch of really good players and, like, guys who, you know, some of them came out of nowhere. Like, I'm watching Max Muncy. He's batting cleanup. He wasn't supposed to be an amazing player, but something clicked with him and the Dodgers, and now he's like a power-hitting super utility guy. It's really cool. Like, it's frustrating. The Dodgers, I don't want them to win because I just feel like they'd become more annoying on an individual level, collectively, if that makes sense. The Braves are just a really fun team to watch, and they've got like a whole bunch of really young guys, you know, like Max Fried, who's pitching, just walked Max Muncy, Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, Freddie Freeman's, he just seems to be getting better every year. He's just becoming a more mature hitter. And he's always looking on elements of his game to improve. And, like, you love that. You love to see that kind of shit. And then, you know, the Braves also have, you know, Ozzie Albies, Dansby Swanson. I mean, Bryce Wilson. They've got all these really exciting young players that might not necessarily, like, obviously, Acuna's a superstar, but, like, a lot of these other players are probably just going to develop into, you know, average to above average major leaguers. But when you're able to get that kind of just, like, really solid baseline, like you're able to elevate that higher than league average, it doesn't matter that the team only has like one or two superstars. Like, it's really cool to watch them just play together and like have a good time doing it. Like, I mean, they're just fun. Anyway, I'm having a lot of fun watching baseball again. I haven't watched that much baseball in a while, but I decided that, you know, with this postseason, why not just get back into it? It's something that's exciting. It's happening. It puts me in touch with, you know, my inner child. And, you know, and like, I think I'm over the hurt that working in baseball caused me. I think that's what it comes down to. Like, I'm not as cynical, and like, so I can watch the game again and like enjoy it. You know, and like, obviously I'll still be critical of a bunch of players and teams. Like, obviously, like I just was with the Dodgers, but like, I'm having fun. This is cool. I'm watching, you know, I'm watching my TV. I'm watching the game on TV, with no glasses still, because, you know, lens crafters, fucking lens crafters, man. Yeah, Bellinger rips a single. So now the Dodgers lead 3-0 in the first inning, and I have a feeling that that the Dodgers are going to come back and win the series. You know, because if they win today, then the series will be tied at 3. They'll play again tomorrow, in the decisive game 7. I mean, Dodgers have, I think they've only got one out. Or do they have no outs? I think they have one out. They have one out, and the bases are either loaded or the runners in first. Runners in first and second, one out. Cody Bellinger just got an RBI single. I'm burping because I'm drinking seltzer. And, yeah, so Lens Crafters is fucking shit. You know, like, I tried to wear the prescriptions that they gave me, the prescriptions that the doctor said should work just fine. You know, they would just take a little adjustment. It wasn't just a little adjustment. I tried in earnest for, you know, 10 days with the first go around, and then 7 days the last time, and it, like, I could just tell it was the same thing. It was just going to get worse and worse, not better and better as it's supposed to. You know, so I went back to, so first of all, on Monday, if you saw my Instagram, I recorded a video. I had just woken up from a nightmare. It was really early in the morning. It was like 5:30 or something. And I just woken up from a nightmare where I was at Lens Crafters, dealing with the doctor again, you know, with my second follow-up appointment that was coming up this week. You know, she was, she'd given me the news that, like, well, no, you can't go back to your regular prescription. You're going to go with the one that I think is right for you, because I'm the one that's in charge, and, you know, something to that effect. And I was trying to ream her out, but it was like one of those nightmares where you lose the ability, you can't find your ability to speak. So I just was in sort of state of paralysis, of just, you know, my anxieties. And sure enough, that more or less manifested on Wednesday when I went in for my second follow-up appointment. you know, so first of all, I wait like a half hour to for the doctor to see me. She's walking past me this whole time, like going from, you know, her office to the to another room and walking back and forth. Like, I guess she's doing work. Like, I heard her on the phone with another patient, sounded like. So that's fine. But she went out of her way not to make eye contact. And I think that's weird, like for any sort of like customer service type of thing, for workers to actively not make eye contact. I mean, I also get it at the same time, because it's like when you're a medical person and you're going to be dealing with a lot of crazies. And I'm aware that that's how I came off, probably. Because who else? Like, I've never heard of anything like this happening where like the prescription is so far off multiple times. Like, I really don't know what happened, because there was some kind of miscommunication. I don't know how I can fail my own eye exam, or if it just came down to a lack of communication, a lack of understanding on my doctor's behalf. That would make sense. But, you know, but the thing is, she wasn't even willing to own up to that. So finally, when she got around to seeing me, she, you know, she was like, yeah, so how's it going? And I don't know, if you ask me how it's going, I'll tell you how it's going. You know, and like, I wasn't being curt with her. I was being just, you know, very matter of fact and polite, honestly. Where, you know, I was like, yeah. So I tried to wear the second new prescription again, you know, and it's just not working out. I tried covering up my right eye, and then like, I saw that like my vision was a little blurry out of the left lens. So it's like, I don't know, if a doctor asks you what's going on, you tell them, right? So after I told her that, she was like, well, you know, I don't know what you want me to do. I was like, well, I think at this point, let's just go back to the original prescription. Like, let's just pretend none of this ever happened. You know, and I didn't even ask for a refund of the new lenses. Like, you know, what? There's no reason to just like get short with me when you ask me a question and I give you an honest answer. It's just completely asinine. So I thought that was shitty. And I sent it, like, you know, I got an email from LensCrafters the next day, that asked me to complete a survey on, you know, the doctor and the LensCrafters location. I gave him an honest review. I was like, fuck it, you asked for it, I'll submit it. And, you know, I was a little amused by what I had written. So I decided to share it on Instagram. And I didn't tag LensCrafters or anything. It was just something just to amuse my own friends, and whoever else follows me on Instagram. And so I posted the thing. It was a harsh message, but no profanity. I just went in as far as I thought I should, and I don't regret sending them the feedback. But, you know, I posted on Instagram, and it was just like, and I expected like a little bit of, you know, I'll probably be called a Karen or whatever. Who cares? Like, it was something that I felt I should do. And then, you know, after a few hours, I was like, you know what? It wasn't that great. It wasn't that amazing a piece of writing. So I deleted it, you know. And it's not because I like deeply regret posting it. It's just like, I don't like petty shit. I don't like being petty, and I don't want that shit to just be like a mark on my page forever. You know, I left it up for like 4 hours or something and got rid of it, because, you know, life's too short for that shit. And like, it didn't make me feel great. You know, like I honestly felt like kind of a cunt. You know, because like I put the caption, something to the effect of, you know, I think it's bad karma and cunty to post a Google review, if it, you know, a negative Google review, because like people that do that are typically insane. And I also think it's important with, you know, when you're dealing with businesses, you need to learn how different businesses are run, and you need to find these bad businesses on your own so that you don't make the same mistakes in your business life. I mean, that's how I view it. Like you gotta take some risks. And, you know, like occasionally patronize a shitty business. It's a learning experience. Do it. So that's why I don't like leaving negative Google reviews. I think there's value in, you know, in negative experiences. So anyway, so my glasses won't be ready for another week or two. They had to special order the lenses, because apparently they ran out of glasses lenses, which, I mean, I've never heard of that happening. It honestly baffles me. So anyway, earlier this morning, or maybe it was this afternoon, maybe it was around noon, there was a big old Trump parade, just going right through downtown Joshua Tree, which is just like, what the fuck, you know? But like, I know last week, and just in general, I have the opinion that you shouldn't, like we need to find common ground. We need to, you know, not, like if Trump does get reelected, we can't just keep fighting amongst ourselves. We have to have there has to be some kind of compromise. As much as it kills me to say that, I just don't think it's worth a civil war. That said, people who support Trump in this loud, disruptive way are assholes and should be, you know, I hope they get smited by the God that they think loves them, or the God that they think that they love. This is more apt. Oh, cool. The Braves got a couple runners on top of the second. Ozzie Albies just got a hit. So, yeah, cool. Nice. Let's, hopefully the Braves can keep it going. I just want an exciting series. I want an exciting game, an exciting series. But anyway, back to the fucking Trump parade. You know, so you have all these, like these pickup trucks and they're, you know, honking their horns and stuff. Like, honestly, if I were a blind person, this would just sound like a Puerto Rico Day parade in New York. And it's not to disparage, you know, I mean, obviously Puerto Rico is U.S. territory. It's not its own country. But, you know, just the way that these people are fucking riding around, getting all tribal and shit with their fucking trucks and flags and just rambunctious style of whatever the fuck. I mean, it looks like Venezuela, you know, like this looks like a third world country. It looks like they're embracing that aesthetic because Trump's their guy. They're willing to take the entire fucking country down to just this bizarro world level that just really, there's nothing original about it. It's just like, I mean, honestly, this kills me to say, but they're kind of culturally appropriating in that way. I started this episode by saying that I had cut back on marijuana successfully for a few days, and how that had not lasted. That is, to continue on that point, I am a little bit stoned right now. And I think one of the reasons I'm a little stoned right now is like one of the reasons I decided, you know, maybe that like whole weed taking a break from it thing isn't for me. I mean, I'm still not smoking as much as I had been, you know, I'm still making concerted effort. You know, I'm not giving up is my point. But on my other podcast, my King Gizzard fan podcast called I'm Not a Fan Unless I Have a Podcast. This week I'm just the most fun episode I've done. We didn't even talk about King Gizzard, that much because, sorry, I'm just burping from more seltzer. But in any case, Braves got bases loaded now. So they got something cooking in the second inning. All right. But, My guest on the King Gizzard podcast was my friend Elmo Kirkwood of the Meat Puppets, who were my favorite band prior to King Gizzard. And I just wanted to have him on because he's recorded some new stuff of his own. He's been doing these covers of 80s pop songs that are like pretty good. And I just think it's like a fun, cool project. It's just like, yeah, fucking you're recording like some of your favorite songs. And like, I like that shit, you know, like do what you love. I like when people do what they love. So I had him on to talk about that and just, you know, shoot the shit and whatnot. And he's smoking a fucking bong the entire time, just enjoying himself, enjoying the discourse. The conversation and everything. And it's just like, and he's a guy that's doing shit, you know, like he's going on road trips and whatnot, still making his own music and just doing whatever the fuck at his own pace. And it's nice. He's like living a fucking happy life and shit. And I know this sounds kind of like I'm comparing, and maybe I am to a degree. But at the same time, I am taking a bit of an enablist approach to this, just because it's something that I know at times really does work for me. And it's also something that I know really does work for other people a lot. I think this is just like one of those ongoing struggles where like I'm just going to constantly wrestle with that idea of like, am I actually addicted or do I just enjoy being in the state of mind more? I also do think it's healthy, to experience different states of consciousness to better shape your worldview. I do sincerely believe that. We got Nick Markakis. 0-1 from Bueller, swung and a missed, two strikes. I'm just going to do some play-by-play here. So I haven't done play-by-play broadcasting in 8 years. Like 2012 was the last time. 2012 actually was the only year I did play-by-play, which was kind of my own fault, but just goes to show, you know, like you can't like, it's not good to hate yourself. Anyway, doing play by play. I did, because I was calling Hofstra baseball games when I was in college in my senior year. And that was fun. I also did softball, and the softball team was better. It was very cool. To like call play by play, which I guess now I'll do. So bases are loaded. It's a 1-2 count on Nick Markakis as Bueller steps off. Markakis steps out. Going to take his time up there. Big pressure situation. Bases loaded. One out. Braves down 3-0. Top of the second inning. Walker Bueller's second start this series. The pitch fouled off to the left side and count stays 1-2. Oh man, calling play by play is cool because it basically is a meditation. because you're forced to be living in the moment. You're focused on the present moment. That's very cool. I wish that had occurred to me when I was actually doing it, because I thought the whole point of play-by-play was just to sate your own ego, which therefore I think it's good that I did not succeed in that. As we watch a fastball that's low and in for ball two. 2-2 on Markakis. Walker Buehler, 29 pitches in the start so far, had 8 pitches in the first inning, 21 pitches here in the second, and only one out. Bases loaded. 3 singles from the Braves to get the inning going. And Markakis, the 8th hitter, he's hitting 300 in the series. There's the pitch. Just took a fastball right down the dick for strike 3. So there goes Markakis. He's down on strikes. That's Buehler's second strikeout of the day. And they're 2 away in the top of the second inning. All right, this is fun, but like, you don't need to hear me do play-by-play on something that, by the time this podcast is released, is over. So, but anyway, so I have my buddy Elmo on the podcast. I do highly recommend that you go watch that on YouTube. I think it's the most entertaining piece of content that I've ever put out. I say that sincerely. Like, I've put out a lot of cool shit, shit that's pretty, or, you know, stuff that's funny. This was a really fun conversation because so much of it is just we're bullshitting. And also there's the dynamic that Elmo plays in one of my favorite bands. And like, the only reason that we're friends is I met him after one of their shows, like when I saw them for the first time back in 2013. And I saw the Meat Puppets play. Like, I just wanted to have them autograph my record. I wasn't anticipating like a whole conversation and the birth of a friend of a deep friendship. Like, I'm sure Elmo wouldn't consider me a super close friend of his, but he knows that I'm a guy who can hang. I would consider him, like, if not a close friend, definitely one of my most influential on me. I mean, I see what he does, and it's like very much, you know, sort of, he's a guy I look up to for sure. Super smart, fucking funny dude. And musically, like, he's a fucking rock star, you know? So I don't know. Anyway, it was a really, it was cool having that dynamic. And just being able to shoot the shit, like that was fucking fun. You know, it's like kind of what I picture, you know, Joe Rogan feeling like, you know, like maybe the first time he had like a celebrity guest on his, well, I guess by the time he had a podcast, he was already a celebrity himself, but it was sort of like operating on that level of like, you know, not only are you friends, but like you legitimately enjoy each other's creative shit and love talking about it. Like, I don't know. Whatever it is, whatever the reason is for why that was so fucking fun and enjoyable, it doesn't matter because it just was. It was fucking, it was so cool. So I recommend checking it out. It's still linked to my Instagram bio. Let's see. So the Dodgers got through that inning. They didn't give up any runs. So the Braves strand the people. Braves strand the people. So it's good I didn't make it as a play-by-play broadcaster. It is nice to live in the moment, and baseball is fun. I you know, it's always going to have a very important place in my heart. But I'm glad that I'm done pursuing it in a professional sense. It's just not worth the strife. You know, so something else I wanted to talk about. I just ordered a record, a few weeks ago, from this artist that I've gotten really, really into over just during quarantine. His name's Mono Neon. He's a bassist, multi-instrumentalist, but he's one of the most badass, like funkadelic, type of bass players out there. And he came out with an album, that was limited, I think, to like 500 copies or something, maybe 600 copies. It's called Living the Best and Worst Life at the Same Damn Time. And, you know, I just bought the record because, you know, I was like, number one, I want to support this guy's career. I think it's good to give support to artists. And number two, like, I just love everything about this album cover. Like, I love the title of it, Living the Best and Worst Life at the Same Damn Time. That is so on this, very much on this, it fits with this notion that I've had this year. You know, just as I've more been coming into my own as a person, like this the whole yin and yang concept, you know, understanding the depths to your own darkness and the heights to your own, you know, beauty. Like, we all have that balance. Like in us, we do have the ability to have like a healthy balance of that. And I think it's, that's why I'm so in favor of psychedelics, because like, I think you do need to, like, that's a great way to explore your, you know, your dark side, in sort of a touristic way. You know, like that's how I think of a psychedelic trip, is like you're taking a vacation just to visit parts of your own mind that you're, you know, not aware of in your normal functioning state. So that album, like it just stuck out to me, because I was like, that seems to very much be my mantra: living the best and worst life. I think once you accept that you're living both your best and worst life, that's how you neutralize your depression. I truly believe that, but it's not a matter of just saying like, oh yeah, that's real. It's like, you need to feel that in order for it to be true, you know? So again, psychedelics are great, but, you know, and so I'm at a point now where, you know, especially after the summer, where I did go through a very depressed stage, I just realized that, you know, hey, it wasn't just psilocybin mushrooms that cured me of my depression. Like, no, it's, depression is still a part of me, but it's a matter of putting it into perspective, recontextualizing how you see it. You know, so I consider it just a part of like my dark side. And I'm aware of like the different symptoms and whatnot, and the little things that, like, I know when it's likely to come on and when it's likely to go away. Usually it goes away after it's been around for a while. And you've just allowed yourself to sit with it, and not medicated so hard with the weed. That is, you know, that's the trap that you can fall, that I fall into from time to time. You know, and then there are times like right now where I feel myself coming out of a bit of a depression funk. And I'm using weed to, accent the happy. So anyway, so I listened to this album. I ordered it like 3 weeks ago, And just this morning, I listened to it since last night I was in LA for a show. It was delivered while I was out. So I listened to it for the first time this morning, and it just blew me away. It put me in such a good headspace, where I was like, oh fuck yeah, I'm totally going to, wash my dishes that I left in the sink all yesterday afternoon and last night. You know, I like shit that, you know, gets me moving. And all of a sudden I think I might be into funk and like this kind of, you know, really groovy kind of jazz, like jazzy stuff. Like, it's just something that there's a vibe to it that's just really cool. And so anyway, I highly recommend checking out Mono Neon. Super awesome, fucking talented dude. He does a lot of, a lot of what he does on like Instagram, is he'll play along to different like TV clips of like Talking Heads speaking or something. He did he'll play along with like a bass or his guitar, identifying the notes that people are hitting in their speaking voice. And I think I might have even talked about this guy in previous episodes of this podcast. But anyway, I'm absolutely in love with this new record. It's just a great way to improve the ambiance in my comfy, shitty apartment. That's what this is. This is not. I don't live in a great place. I live in a place that I ultimately would like to be out of in 6 months. I think that would be that. That's what I would like. It's a goal that I have. It's not one that I've really thought much about how I'm going to reach it. I know what I'm up against in this kind of housing market, especially in like the rental housing in Joshua Tree. It's not easy to come by, and usually it's not cheap, or not this cheap. Like, I've got one of the best deals, which is ultimately why I don't want to, like, I would like to not leave. I think the reason I'm starting to get a little apprehensive about where I live is just my fucking, let me see if I have to censor myself. No, I don't. Cool. Yeah, my fucking next door neighbor is the absolute worst. It's an apartment. We have thin walls, and unlike her, I have a little bit of awareness of that fact, and courtesy because of the, you know, hence the awareness. And I think I've said on this podcast at least one other time, that like I've had to consider calling CPS, because like whenever she has her kids or whoever's kids they are, I think they're hers, she's just mean to them, like just verbally abusive nonstop. And same thing, like I guess she got a cat or two cats or something, and she's just like talking shit about them and like to them, and just as if they can understand her. It's the absolute most bananas thing I've ever had to bear witness to, audio witness. And it makes for a very hostile environment when I'm just, you know, trying to mind my own business and just enjoy the pleasantries of living life. And then I just hear from next door, just like a maniac just reaming out a cat. Like, are you fucking serious? I mean, if there's anything I know about cats, is that they don't give a fuck what you think. So I don't know what the fuck she was thinking getting a cat, let alone two. It doesn't make any sense. And ultimately, I want to move because of it. Like, it's just, you know, it's just not something that I think is conducive to me being successful. Because that shit does rub off on me. I'm an empath, and I take on the characteristics of, you know, my surroundings, which is why I've learned to become more selective with who I choose to hang out with. And, you know, anyway, I'm trying to just like live my best damn life and living the worst life at the same damn time. So anyway, I was supposed to have a show tomorrow, Sunday evening in downtown LA, which is the same show I've been doing there for the last few weeks, Spotlight Sundays. But unfortunately, I had to cancel my appearance this week, since tomorrow I just found out that tomorrow is the memorial service for Granny Jessie, one of my all-time favorite people I've met since moving to Joshua Tree. I mean, she was such an amazing spirit. She was an older woman who was like she was one of those really authentic hippies, like straight out of the 1960s. I mean, I don't know how many years she had been smoking, like, you know, fucking cigarillos. But, you know, she just had that like Joni Mitchell kind of voice, you know, like present day Joni Mitchell kind of voice, where it's, you know, basically like, I mean, well, probably where Miley Cyrus is going to be in 20 years, you know, in terms of the vocal register. But I mean, she was the absolute most loving person I've met, and she like loved to talk shit too. And she was so cool. Like, so she's right. So I was saying, like, she's one of those authentic hippies. Like, she had tattoos from the 1960s, you know, like she had a pot leaf, and like she, you could just tell, like, that's somebody you don't fuck with. And that's somebody you listen to. You try to get something, learn something from them, you know, just be with them and just try to make that connection. Like, she was one of the most intriguing people I've ever met. So she died, a few weeks ago, not COVID, but just, you know, she wasn't in good health. You know, so it's a bummer that, you know, that she died. And she was she might've been my biggest fan, whenever I played the Palms open mic, you know, on Friday nights before the pandemic. Like there was one show I played where afterwards she came up to me, and said she loves everything that I play, because I'm always full of surprises, and no matter what I play, it's interesting. And she gave me a hug, and it was just the fucking coolest thing to experience. You know, she was an absolutely amazing woman. I mean, you know, God. So anyway, tomorrow's the memorial. And it's just going to be, you know, like a potluck. It's going to be a nice celebration. It's going to be socially distanced, you know, we'll be wearing masks, and all that. But, I'm really looking forward to it, because, I mean, you know, the people at the Palms, you know, like my Wonder Valley friends, like I haven't seen them really since the Palms had the outdoor event earlier this summer, or like just before the summer started. That was, you know, that's the last time I've seen these people. And, you know, I missed them, you know, that's that's the community I love being a part of. Even if I'm not like hanging out too much, it's like those people get it. And like, we're very much the same ilk. So I canceled my appearance. But I'll be back the following week in downtown LA. And those shows are fun though. I'll tell you, those are some fucking fun shows. I mean, it's a complete shit show. Don't get me wrong. Cause it's like a flea market. There are a bunch of like, I mean, like it's promoted as if it's being held at a nightclub, which I guess technically it is, but, a nightclub crowd doesn't really go with stand-up comedy, really. But promoters don't really know the difference. They're just like, oh, it's all entertainment. It's all live entertainment. And just like, and you should be thankful for the opportunity. And like, don't get me wrong, I am totally thankful. I think it's great. I love doing it. It's a fun event. I'm just saying it's objectively a shit show. Cause it doesn't really, I'm doing it because that's all we can do for comedy at the moment and the arts, and you know, and I do support it. But it's just like, if there weren't a pandemic, this is not a show that any self-respecting comedian would do. I mean, just the people, like there's no real audience that's there to see comedy. I don't know. This also isn't that real of a podcast where what I say will get me canned from that show. Because nobody listens. It's, you know, like the promoter doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who'd be listening to, me talk about desert life and, you know, just literally whatever is on my mind. He barely acknowledges me when I show up and say, hi, thanks for having me. He's in contact with too many people. He's doing like the constant hustle and grind that ultimately I don't think is a sustainable business model, because you just make a whole bunch of passive connections, you know, like you're booking a whole bunch of like just dozens of comedians and dozens of vendors and dozens of artists and rappers and DJs and all that shit. You don't know who any of the fucking people are. So you're not really making a legit, like a sincere connection. I don't understand how that's an effective business model. It seems like a good way to pigeonhole yourself, just find yourself in this kind of like spinning your wheels phase that you can't really get out of because you don't know how to try new shit. I don't know. Maybe this is just me being too critical of the promoter. He's doing more work than I've ever done for an event. So fuck me. But I'm just saying it's a fucking bananas show, and I'm explaining why it's so wild. There's just not a whole lot of thought that goes into it. I forget if I mentioned this, but I'll mention it again if I have to. When I was there a couple weeks ago, there was there's like this hype man who like, you know, all the comics got there before the event started and we're just getting admitted. And this guy's just sitting in a stool, just like smiling and laughing at the whole thing. He's just like, oh man, this is great. We got all the comics, and just nobody knows who this guy is. He's just like talking for the sake of talking and just for the sake of hyping himself up for this huge event that he thinks is about to unfold. And it's like, dude, why are you so excited? Like everybody knows, like not that many people show up to this thing that aren't there for their own self-interest. Like it's cool to be excited about shit. we know that. It's cool to be excited, but this guy was just like, oh, we got all these comics, man. You got funny. Say something funny. Start, tell me a joke. And it's just like, that's just rule number one. You never ask a comic to do any of that shit. You just don't do it. Because most of us comics are fucked up people. Like, we're too introverted and we have to really think about things in order to actually be funny. We don't have, you know, like these, you know, like survival reflexes all the time. Ooh, they just tried to pick off Max Muncy and they're doing an instant replay. They might actually, they might have gotten him. The ump called him safe. But Freddie Freeman might have gotten that tag on his leg before his foot hit the bag. Oh boy. Back to play-by-play. Anyway, it's I don't know what I'm bitching about anymore. I'm grateful for all the opportunities that I'm able to get during a pandemic. I mean, any opportunity to perform is tremendous, you know. I fucking love this shit. I don't know why I'm complaining. I really don't. And I mean, I can't edit thoughts that I have that just fly off the top of my head. I don't mean anything by them antagonistically. It's just thoughts that I have that are just objective truths, I think. So anyway, before I go cancel myself, gonna sign off right here. See you guys next week.